Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5:30, it is our edition of Competition Wednesday. We just laid out what the punishments will be. Anthony will choose his punishment as he lost week one, and then we will get into, the next week, because we got to pick another slate of games, and then we got to see who wins next week, and then we'll have to spin the wheel again. It's an endless cycle of, hopefully for Anthony, it's a little different next week, and I have to do something bad, or maybe we'll even tie, but, based off recent history, it's going to be a lot of Anthony doing silly, silly human tricks all year long. Sorry, Anthony, I promise to start being nice about this as soon as you start picking games correctly.
In due time.
In due time. It is now time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
It is our pleasure today to welcome in, for what I believe is the first time, our guy David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, Sports Illustrated. He's been on the beat for a couple years now. Does a really great job, asks really great questions at the press conferences. He's gotten to get to know the locker room quite a bit, and it's my dumb fault that he hasn't been on the show yet. But, David, we're fixing that right now. How you doing, man?
What's up, man? How you been?
Doing pretty well. So I always, when I was on the beat, Wednesday was kind of an interesting day to be in the locker room, because you get a feel for how the guys are bouncing back from the loss. Obviously, everyone's pretty bummed right after. That's going to be the case no matter what. But by Wednesday, you kind of get the vibe of how the team is handling it and focusing on the next week. So as you guys went in that locker room today, what was the vibe, of course, Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn at the podium, but then ultimately of the players that you got a chance to talk to?
Yeah, just a lot of determination to put the past behind them and move forward and make sure that the second time they go out there, the result is a lot more like what they expected, in the first game from a competitive standpoint, but then obviously you want the result to be better. I think the way Jeremy Reeves put it was, got to get this taste out their mouth, you know what I mean? And obviously that's just going to take getting a win against the New York Giants. You know, I think that a lot of guys, it's not the division, rivalry thing, even though that is obviously important, and it's not even the fact that, the Giants have had this team's number, at least not losing to this team, if not, straight up beating this team quite often, because a lot of these guys weren't here for a lot of those games. So it's about them internally, and it's about what they're trying to accomplish. It's not about any of that outside influence. And honestly, I think that's a good role to put this thing. I think it's a good way to approach this thing because, I think previous versions of this team, we've seen they've kind of been externally motivated, right? When they come in against like a Buffalo Bills team, they try really hard, even though it doesn't always go very well. They go out there with more effort and more energy than usual, but then they come in against a team like the New York Giants, and their energy basically matches the opponent. Well, this is looking to be an internally motivated team who wants to go out there every week with maximum energy. I was actually curious, Greg. I was wondering how the bags drill would look today, coming off of a loss, coming off of a disappointment. Some guys called it an embarrassment in week one, things like that, and the energy was just as high. So, for a small of a grain of salt that is, I think it kind of sets the tone and shows the mindset these guys are in right now.
No, I love that internal versus external motivation. I think that's a really astute point and something to kind of follow and track as the year goes. David Harrison, Sports Illustrated, Locked On Commanders with us here on the Hoffman Show. Even thinking back to the weekend and whatever lingering conversations you had about Sunday today, David, and whoever you've talked to over the past couple of days, what was the level of surprise internally of how specifically the defense performed against Tampa?
Yeah, I think the biggest, you know, surprise from them would be their inability to finish. You know, there was a good amount of pressures, and there was a good amount of scenarios where they did the right things up until it came time to finish the play. And obviously, you know, you could argue that people win. You win a rep at the line of scrimmage, you win the rep at the snap, at the release, you know, in a defensive back's mind, all that good stuff. But ultimately, it doesn't matter when you win the route. If at the end of it, you don't make the play, it doesn't matter, right? You look at the dropped interception by Benjamin St. Juice, you know, you can call that a rep that you win, even though there's a penalty associated with it as well. You still want to see the guy come up with the interception. Then you've got other plays, you know, watch it. I watched a lot of Frankie Louvu's tape, and I was talking to him a little bit about what I saw in the locker room today, and there's a rep where he comes crashing in. The Buccaneers have a screen called for Rashad White, and Frankie Louvu comes crashing through from a defensive angle on the left side A gap. And what he ends up doing is forcing that guard and that center to double team him to keep him from smashing Baker Mayfield's face in. And so that center, instead of getting out ahead of that screen, what he's got to do is stay in to block Frankie Louvu. The result there is that another defender comes free to try to make a play on Rashad White as soon as the ball is getting there. The problem is the tackle ends up missed. Rashad White ends up gaining like 9 yards on that play. So what should be either a loss or maybe, you know, at best or at worst a 0 yard gain or a no gain ends up being a successful play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not because the function wasn't there, not because the operation wasn't sound, but because when it came time to finish it all, it faltered and fell through.
Since you watched Louvu, he's someone that I've been kind of curious to follow up on and someone that I've got a gigantic pin in for all the obvious reasons. They actually gave him multi-year money, et cetera, et cetera. I felt like when I watched him, and I didn't go back and watch like all of his pass rush snaps. You know, I guess I could now pretty easily with NFL Pro, but maybe I'll do that before we do Take Command or whatever tomorrow. Do it by the weekend. But since you went ahead and watched him, I felt like in what I did watch, David, the pass rush juice, like you see some of the explosiveness, but I'm just not like, oh, this is an elite pass rusher waiting to happen. I felt like some of his more effective rushes came from blitzes and kind of the ways he's traditionally gotten his sacks when he was in Carolina. What did you see, though, watching each and every snap from Frankie Louvu specifically as a pass rusher?
Yeah, you know, he's the kind of guy that's going to win in games. You know what I mean? Like in some games, they run with him. He's actually, you know, the block eater or the decoy, whatever you want to call him. He's the guy that's going to spring somebody else loose. And sometimes he's the guy that they're trying to spring loose. And for, you know, for multiple reasons on different snaps, sometimes it worked better than other times. There's a specific rep where he's got a blitz call through the B gap and the defensive linemen are supposed to kind of open that door for him. And they actually do a fairly good job. And to be quite honest with you, it looks to me like Graham Barton, the Buccaneers rookie center, actually sticks his left leg out there as Louvu is screaming through that gap. And actually trips him. I mean, according to NFL rules, he actually goes out there and trips him. And you know, for one, the center is not supposed to be in that position anyway, so you kind of see him deliberately move into the line of fire where Louvu's coming through. And look, if you're a Bucs teammate, you're patting that dude on the helmet and saying, hey, good job, because taking a full-grown man to the thigh at that speed and Frankie Louvu's aggression is not going to feel good. But ultimately, it keeps Louvu from getting to Baker Mayfield. So there's kind of some things like that. But honestly, I watched a lot of his routes and a lot of the action that the Buccaneers were calling, whether it's runs or rollouts or even, you know, primary looks, were actually going away from Louvu. I don't know that was necessarily by design on the Buccaneers' part or if that's just kind of how it worked out. But there's a solid amount of reps where the play just simply isn't going his way. And Dan Quinn kind of talked about that today when he was asked about, you know, how you hold people accountable and go through some of these lessons. And he says, you know, look, not every rep has a lesson for every single player. Some reps, there's a lesson for you. Some reps, there's not a lesson for you, just depending on where the play goes. And that's kind of how I look at it. I didn't do the math on how many, but if I had to speculate on just a number, I'd say about 35% of the Buccaneers' offensive plays honestly went in a direction where Frankie Louvu really wasn't a part of it just because of where the play developed. So that on top of some of the other things, like you said, the missed opportunities, you know, if that defender makes that play on Rashad White, we go back and look at the highlight, and I think more people see that Frankie Louvu kind of set the tone and set the table for that play to happen, but because it's a missed tackle, nobody's going to go through and wonder who opened the door for the potential tackle that nobody made, because that's just not how we operate. So I think that if this defense as a whole is able to start finishing a little bit better, you'll start to see where some of these games and some of these guys play off of each other and how effective that can be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Also, David, when he doesn't have to rush against Tristan Wirfs, it'll probably go better.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we collectively gave Tampa's offensive line enough credit going in and set up that battle is like, hey, Tampa's got a big advantage here because their offensive line is maybe, you know, depending on how some of these young guys develop, like top five, top ten in the league. And obviously New York's they've got some talent there, but it's been real bad the last couple of years. So we'll see what they can do on Sunday. One of the other guys that came with Luvu from Carolina is Jeremy Chinn. I thought he was pretty quiet on Sunday. David, what did you make of his Commanders debut?
Yeah, he's a guy that, you know, you kind of notice how much you don't notice him, right? Because he's a guy who has such a versatile role. There's actually one rep where he's left as a single high safety, which I was a little bit surprised of, because people who covered him in Carolina would tell you last year that that's really where he got exposed and kind of ultimately what led to his falling out, where everybody kind of understood that at the end of last season he wasn't going to be back with the Panthers organization. I think it was a mutual decision at the end of the day. Both sides kind of agreed that relationship was over. But from the Panther side of things, they'll tell you, like, he just wasn't versatile enough of a safety. And that's where, you know, I think a lot of Commanders fans who wanted, like, Cam Curl to come back, you're like, okay, he's got a little bit of that box presence, but he can also cover. Jeremy Chinn is more so, you know, that hybrid linebacker. You know, some people call it a star, whatever you want to call it in your scheme is fine. But basically he's just a linebacker who's back there and kind of provides, I would say, you know, average coverage ability. But to see him left back there as a single high safety, it was a little bit surprising. And you know, there was the only one rep where I really noticed it, because I was actually watching Frankie, but it just kind of stood out to me in that play specifically. So, you know, he's again, it's kind of a situation where some of these guys, like, you're going to have guys that I think you expect to be able to win one-on-one from time to time. I think Dorrance Armstrong Jr. is a guy who's going to be expected to be able to do that. But I think a lot of these guys, you know, Frankie, Jeremy Chinn, Jamin Davis even, you know, he made a couple really good plays. But even the plays where Jamin Davis flashed, it's actually the work of other guys that, in tandem with what opens up that opportunity, and then those opportunities Jamin was able to close, which is, again, why it stands out. But I think that a lot of these players are players that they just got to play off of each other, but that's what Joe Jr. wants, and those are the games that they're going to play up front, and the stunts and the twists and the delays, and, you know, one guy drops out, another guy replaces them, things like that. It's just a matter, again, of just getting in there to close. I didn't watch Jeremy Chinn's film from an aspect of breaking him down specifically, but absolutely noticing that we didn't notice him. Certainly, you know, you want to be able to notice a guy like that who's expected to be kind of a focal point of this defense.
Yeah, when that dude makes plays, it is a big, like, oh, you notice him. Big hits, a physical right. play, and just didn't seem to pop off the screen at all on Sunday. Obviously, David, offensively, that is where most people are paying attention because of Jaden. And nationally, the story this week, if you listen to any national podcast or if you read any of the columns, like, you know, Fowler and Graziano do their, you know, insider column from ESPN, and I'm like, sometimes it feels like you guys just read a stat sheet and see a number, and there's not a whole lot of context here in terms of the Jaden running story. Yes, he had 16 attempts. Obviously, they did not want him to have that many, and a lot of that is on him to actually get the ball out of his hands. But Jaden spoke, Dan spoke, you talked to other people in the locker room. What do we make of how they make sure that he does not run the ball as much moving forward? And is that even actually a stated goal with, you know, internally with Cliff Kingsbury and whatever instructions he's getting from DQ?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say that it's probably going to be a stated goal, as in, you know, like, they put a cap on him. Like, hey, dude, you're not allowed to run the ball. You know, combined between design runs and scrambles, you're not allowed to run the ball more than 12 times. We're going to kind of put a cap on you. Because if you do that, you know, you obviously run the risk of taking a guy out of his game and away from what makes him special. And Dan Quinn talks about it all the time, superpowers, right? Well, one of Jaden Daniels' superpowers is the ability to athletically dictate the pace of the game. Another one of his superpowers, I think, is his ability and willingness to make really quick decisions, because we see a lot of rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, first-year starters like we saw last year, who kind of get to this point where they're basically afraid to make a decision. And I've always said the worst decision you can make is no decision, because it used to be a make a decision and it's a wrong decision, we can work with you, right? Every coach wants you to play fast, because if you're playing fast, I can work with that. But if you're playing hesitant, you're playing scared, there's a lot wrong with that. So you want Jaden making decisions at a high rate. The trick is, let's get him tuned in. Let's get him focused, right? Let's zero him in to a shot group where the quick decision he's making is the quick decision that we want him making and the best one on the field. And, you know, that's going to take experience. He's a rookie quarterback. He impressed a lot of us with his training camp decision making and his poise and all that stuff. And I think for some people, what that led to was like thinking that this rookie quarterback maybe is like this, you know, otherworldly rookie quarterback, where the truth of the matter is, no, like that was his first NFL game, really. And that was his first NFL rep. And, you know, the first time he saw a fire blitz, that was his first time seeing a fire blitz in the National Football League at that speed with that type of aggression. And, you know, he's a human being just like anybody else. So the reputation of Todd Bowles' defense and how exotic it can be and aggressive it can be, that's going to be in anybody's head. So I think, was he a little bit fast to the run decision? Perhaps. But at the end of the day, you also look at the opportunities for him to run were mostly successful, mostly positive. He is getting down. I know a lot of people don't like the combat role that he's doing instead of the slide, and I get that. But, you know, the decisions he's making are good decisions. The issue, if you want to call it that, is there are better decisions to be made on some of these reps, and that's what they're going to work on, fine-tuning and honing in. And as Jaden watches this tape and goes through these experiences, you know, he's just like anything else. Like when you walk up to the mic, you know, with a guest for the second time, you have that first-time experience with that guest, and you know, like, hey, this dude doesn't answer questions very long. Or when you get, you know, David Harrison on, he talks too much, so I only need, like, five questions for the segment. Like, you know, you have a better way to attack that next experience, and that's what Jaden Daniels is going through right now.
David Harrison talking very well here on the Hoffman Show. His first appearance, yes, he will definitely be making a second sooner rather than later. No need to worry about that. I to follow up on that, though, David, last thing I'll ask you is, like, are you surprised? It's such a simple version of the question, but the context of, like, are you surprised he ran that much would be what we did see in training camp, which is he didn't really get out and run very much at all in camp. He did a really good job, like way better than I expected based off the LSU tape, of when he needed to get out, keeping his eyes downfield, and he made a bunch of really nice throws off schedule, and you're like, whoa, if this is what he can do, oh my God. Like, we should have been talking about him up there with Caleb Williams as that caliber, as opposed to, I think, well, some people certainly had Jaden and Caleb right next to each other. The wide majority had Caleb on a different level, and it in part because of that very skill. And so the fact that when it wasn't there on Sunday, he ran as much as he did, I think, was a bit of a surprise. But that's the premise. What are your thoughts on that? That's probably not my journalism professor's favorite question that I'll ever ask in an interview, but I think it's the way to let you drop your knowledge on us in within the context that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm absolutely surprised at the amount, right? I'm not surprised at all to see Jaden Daniels take the opportunity and say, okay, you know, with what I'm seeing right now, what I'm feeling, my instincts say take off. And that's actually a question he was asked today is, you know, when you decide to run, kind of what's going through your head? And he said, like, it's a little bit hard to describe because it's not really like a thought process of, you know, there's a safety there, a linebacker there, I'm going to go. It's more of an instinctual, you know, see grass, get grass type of environment. And I think that really kind of just speaks to who Jaden is. And a lot of it is muscle memory. A lot of it is instinctual. So that's the challenge for, you know, these coaches is through the use of tape. You know, he says he's continuing to use the VR. That can be a valuable tool. And just through the repetition of getting on an NFL field, turn that muscle memory and instinct, right? Basically fight or flight, like turn your fight instinct, because that's really what he's doing when he's running, is he's getting as many yards as he can for his team. Turn that instinct from run to give Terry McLaurin a chance when he's running that over, you know, down the seam, like throw that ball out there and give him that chance. And, you know, I think sometimes too, like we kind of underestimate the pressure that's on a quarterback every time they release a football. Like, their reputation is on the line. Their legacy, so to speak, is on the line. And I don't think that Jaden is dropping back. You know, he gets a pass call. He's like, okay, it's like the future of Jaden Daniels is riding on this pass. But the truth of the matter is, especially in today's world of, you know, exploding social media and everything, like when you hear people talk about the 30 and 30 Jameis Winston season, how many people recount how many times an interception was caught off of the fingertips of a wide receiver? How many times do people talk about the interception that was caught because the defensive lineman got their hand up and batted the ball into the air because the offensive lineman didn't push and punch enough to keep that D lineman's hands down? Nobody talks about that. All you talk about is the 30 and 30, and everybody laughs about it. So, you know, there's a little bit of an understandable, again, when you're looking at a rookie quarterback, like, yeah, you want to give your guy a chance. And I think that's where, for me, I was a little bit surprised, because looking at training camp and the joint practices, I thought Jaden would more confidently be willing to put the ball up and let his guys make plays for him. And he didn't do that as much as I expected him to, and that's where some of those runs came from. I don't think it's from, like, a I don't trust Terry, I don't trust Zach Ertz situation. I think it's just, it's a rookie quarterback, the first time this thing is on the line, because, you know, even though Dan Quinn's not putting the cape on him and not putting the captain's patch on him, but he's the quarterback. So at the end of the day, quarterback of your team, whether you call that, whether he breaks down the huddle or not, he is the leader of that team. And there's a lot of pressure that rides from it. I think that's what we saw in week one. And again, hopefully week two, it's better. Week three, a little bit better. Week four, so on and so forth. You know, and I know everybody likes to do the Texans comparison. So maybe, you know, eventually you get that CJ Stroud moment. But the good thing about Jaden is, as long as he keeps playing the way that he plays and true to his game, and this coaching staff keeps coaching him true to his game instead of trying to change him, clicks, I feel like it's going to click really big, and I feel like it's going to click really loud.
David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, and you can read his work in Sports Illustrated on their website at SI.com and other Commanders coverage there. David, this was great, dude. Let's definitely do it again, and we'll be having you back plenty this season.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right, that's David Harrison, everybody, with us on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, it is Competition Wednesday. Three games. Anthony and I go head-to-head against the spread. And then, based off how we do, we have to spin a wheel of minor punishment. Anthony's going to spin the wheel, and we pick our next three games next on the Team 980.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.